Hello and welcome to A Marvelous Lunch Break. This week we've been watching 2012 Spider-Man 4. I mean, Amazing Spider-Man 1. In today's episode, we'll be asking the important questions such as, why does Tobey Maguire look different all of a sudden? Did Mary Jane always have blonde hair? Isn't it strange that there are two Kurt Connors in New York both interested in biology and regeneration? And what happened to poor Rodrigo Guevara when he had his name tag stolen from him and carried out by security guards at the first day of his lovely new internship? We'll be discussing all this and the rest of the movie, but first, joining me today as always is Miss Marvel herself, Anna Harrison.
Hello.
And someone who could only be improved by lizard-like scales, Agent Martin Carter.
Right, I'm not coming next week.
How are you both? Are
you Do you know what, okay? Can I just say Anna's wearing a very Spider-Man red today?
I am, yeah.
Spider-Man not, red. Yeah. Although, blind, you know, not to go too much into this movie, but I thought this Spider-Man is too blue.
He's very blue.
He's very, very, he's very blue. Blue.
And the whole film is just grey.
Off-puttingly blue. And
you're
gray.
Wearing blue today. You two couldn't.
I always
put you together,
blue.
You would be a Spider-Man.
Which elements do you think we would bring to Spider-Man?
I'd like to think I'd bring the quips.
The quips.
Quippiness.
Okay. I think I'd probably bring the stickiness. Yeah, quips and sticky. That's pretty much Spider-Man. So, hello as well to our listeners this week from around the world. If this is the first time you're tuning in, or if you're back for more, do note there are spoilers in this podcast. And if you're listening to us, please remember to review and subscribe to us so you can get more of this more regularly. Also, follow us on our Instagram account. Anna, what's the details?
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
Great. Done. So
that must have been the fastest intro we've ever done.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know. We stopped to talk about Spider-Man suits, clothes,
you being sticky.
Me being sticky. I mean, just for the record, I always wear blue.
I think that was right. For the record, I'm always sticky. Don't shake my hand.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so Anna, we're going to start off as we do every week with your 1 minute or less.
Okay.
But never anymore.
Right.
Roundup of The Amazing Spider-Man from 2012.
Okay.
So, the stopwatch is opened. I'm going to reset it right there because I'd still not stopped it from the last episode. Are you ready? Are you feeling confident?
I'm ready.
Practiced?
All right. A little bit.
A little bit. Okay. Martin, are you primed?
I'm ready to record.
3, 2, 1. Go.
Even further back origin story. Tiny Peter's parents are in deep with some dirty dealings, causing them to ditch him at old Uncle Ben's and Aunt May's. Later in life, he's still a loser, creepily taking photos and victim of GBH. After discovering Daddy's discarded briefcase, Peter mumbles his way into Oscorp, a lab of nightmares and the Spider of Destiny. One bizarre subway ride and a disgusting dead spider discovery later, newly powered Peter is palling around with Dr. Connors, who is desperate for some new digits. Quick skateboarding and getting to know your powers montage, and it's time for poor old Uncle Ben to kick the bucket, and Pete channels his rage into beating up street thugs, costume design, rooftop yoga, and being a dick to Aunt May. While Gwen Stacy thirsts for Peter and he's incredibly rude to her dad, Connors is growing a gross new hand and transforming into the Lizard. And after Peter reveals his secret identity to Gwen, oh my god, and painstakingly saves a Williamsburg kid, Connor goes truly nuts in his subway laboratory, kicks Peter's ass all over the world's cleanest sewers, and concocts a master plan to turn everyone into lizards. After revealing his secret identity to another Stacy, Peter takes the New York Crane superhighway to fight the Lizard on top of Oscorp Tower. It does not go well. Just as he loses his mask yet again, Stacy shows up to lend a helping hand, get shish kebabs, and deny Peter another father figure. But thanks to Dead Ben's voicemail message and some well-placed logos, Peter shakes off his deathbed promise to be a dick to Gwen and is ready to have
Stop.
It all! Yes!
Oh. They were not words towards the end.
You know, every time I watch you trailing that piece of paper with your finger, it feels like you're on the last few lines for about half of the goddamn thing.
I mean,
that was good.
Really cut it down
that
this
good.
Time as well.
That was really good. And you know what? For the first time, I actually thought that was a little bit... What's the opposite of incomprehensible? Don't say comprehensible.
Articulate.
Articulate. That I could hear some bits.
Yeah, that was sort of... That's my plan going forward. Kind of in retrospect, I think the last ones... They're not successful if
they're
it's just mush. They
don't know how close you were. Mouth.
Yes, tell me.
59.
Ooh, man.
0.47.
Dang.
Was when my finger hit the button.
Wow.
So
nice.
Good work.
Oof. Okay.
And remember, if you want to try these, the scripts are always on our Instagram stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you can beat Anna, you'll get a...
something. We'll get you something, definitely.
We'll throw you a like.
We'll do more than that.
We'll do more than give you a line. Okay.
Let's give you two.
We'll find you. We'll all like it.
We'll all like three. It.
Your engagement's going to go through the roof. Okay, so next up, we've got a snack here to eat.
Oh, great. Well.
Like, we all panicked and pretty much forgot to bring something, so we've scraped around and found miscellaneous
Where did you scrape
bits.
These from?
Well, so I've got, like, a snack drawer okay. at work, which I've been trying to keep a bit stocked with slightly healthier things because our office just always has, like, cakes and pastries and stuff. So I've been halfway successful. I've got some pecan and caramel cookies.
They sound delicious.
I think they're pretty good. And I've got
I'll
some...
I'll take a cookie.
Go for it.
I'm always slow on the uptake with a snack.
Cookie yourself up. And I've got some rosemary and sea salt flatbread thins.
Can I have half a thin?
Yes.
What's the point? It's Thanks. Thin. Why do you want half a thin?
And then...
it seems like quite a lot.
They're good. I think they've got lovely flavoring. They've got the big,
oh,
big
they're really
pieces
good.
Of sea salt. And I've got some hummus, which I did not realize was reduced fat when I bought it, so that's a bummer. But otherwise...
That is the most rosemary-flavored thing I've had, with the exception of real rosemary.
The cookies are good.
Excellent.
I'm gonna Softer get than I thought they were going to be.
Mm. Yeah, they are a bit squishy. So there you go. Those are the snacks for this week. Oh. I've been bad about posting pictures of our snacks, but I don't think these are particularly visually stimulating.
Do you think we should have had a...
Just Google co-op pecan and caramel cookies.
There you go.
Or Rivita thins.
Done and done.
We should have had snacks that relate to the film, which I think is some sort of product placement Tropicana 2-litre orange juice. Do you remember what? That? When they were watching the TV in the kitchen, there was product placement for that orange juice.
Oh, I do remember this. I was thinking maybe... I was thinking about getting some chocolate milk because that's what Peter buys at the bodega when he lets the weird scruffy street thug go, who apparently has a very popular hairstyle, which I would not have thought for that time.
Every criminal in New York has long blonde hair and a beanie. And Dan, you were incorrect. They should not be searching Google. They should be searching Bing, because that is the only web browser that Peter Parker uses.
Oh, yeah, Bing.
This, for all of his search needs.
He loves Bing.
We love Bing. Spider-Man loves Bing.
Yep. It's the only way to search disgusting photos of spiders. Jesus. And spider bites. That was such a horrible part of the film.
Okay, anyway. So we've got a great episode. We've got discussion about the cast, as always.
That set us up for a fall down. It might be mediocre.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to be great, though. We've had Choo Choo, another train scene to discuss later on today.
Oh, yeah.
But also... also, we have had a user submission of a train scene that we have missed.
Oh, yes!
And I watched this train scene on YouTube earlier, and it is a humdinger.
Okay, yes. I'm excited.
Okay.
Who sent it in? Can we give them a shout-out?
I'll give them a shout-out when we get to the appropriate section. Okay. So just hold on. We will keep people listening for this train scene update later on.
I'm so excited this train thing's becoming a thing.
Yeah. It's amazing how much of an easy setting it is for fights and the like. But first, we will kick off with the cast. It is a brand new series of Spider-Man films. Woo! Long gone is Tobey Maguire in with...
Not that long ago.
Yeah, it felt like he was like with us for a second.
Yeah. Well, this guy will
this
be...
This was a fast reboot. So what year was this film again?
2012.
Okay. So that's...
Well, I think it's about 6 years after Spider-Man 3.
Okay. It did feel soon at the time, though.
It felt really soon.
Yeah. And even sooner when there was about a year gap between this guy and the even newer guy.
Yeah, damn.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves. First off, Spider-Man and Peter Parker both played, dual cast by Andrew Garfield.
Yay!
No cheers celebrations?
I'm still on the fence.
Have you gone in for a cookie there as well?
Yeah.
Nice.
I want half a thin now.
So... I liked Andrew Garfield way more than I thought I was going to in this. So I've realized, first time I've seen the movie all the way through, I've seen sort of like bits of it for whatever reason. It seems like a movie that's always on TV whenever I'm in a hotel. So like it's just been like in the background. You know, you never start the movie at the beginning. You always come in at a weird time. Anyway,
what's the weirdest time you could come into this movie?
Well, maybe again like the spider search when it's just like the bites and everything. Or the bit where he like pulls the thread out of that bite on his neck, or the lab of nightmares when he walks into like rotating spider webs that like have trap doors.
You wouldn't walk
drop.
In that, would you?
Oh my god. Anyway, but so I had kind of develop kind of like a bad impression of this movie before I'd even seen it. Like, yeah, it has its issues, but my main hang up I thought was going to be like, oh, Andrew Garfield, like, he's too cool, he's too, you know, dreamy, and then does he just cry all the time? I felt like I remembered all that. I quite liked him in this. I mean, he was very mumbly, stuttery, seemed to be that's the kind of way he conveyed.
Three nods per half a sentence. I know. He never finished a sentence.
I know, but I did like him in this.
So my question about Andrew Garfield in this, and we'll do it now.
We'll do it now, will we?
We'll do it now. It'll be super quick. Is Andrew Garfield playing Peter Parker? Because I don't think that character that he's playing is Peter Parker. I think when he's dressed as Spider-Man, he gets a lot of Spider-Man's quips, bravados, chat. I don't feel like the character that he plays out of drag, out of costume, is Peter Parker. I think if you look at him in comparison to Tobey Maguire and Tom Holland, I think they do a much better job of representing the Peter Parker element of the Spider-Man character. I think Andrew Garfield is just doing mumbly teenager.
Dan, thoughts?
Oh, okay, thank you. So I think he's playing... I think he starts off playing that Peter... I don't think any movie has done this well, but that Peter Parker that's overly cocky, new powers, is really like self-confident, but in an extreme way that causes him to have a big ego check when Uncle Ben dies. But I feel that he plays that bit okay. I mean, that's not really day-to-day Peter Parker anyway, because it's a small snapshot of his history. But he then doesn't seem to stop that afterwards. He's still a little bit too cocky and self-assured. I think especially that comes out the bit where he's in the backseat of the car and he's got the car thief and he's like
go out of the window now, go on, go.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's funny, but there's something about it which is almost like too cocky.
I think, and that happened way, I think that happened way too quickly in comparison to his character as Peter Parker. It was like, as soon as I put on the hood, I've got all the bants in the world. I'm going from like greyed out, mumbly, sad teenager up to like happy-go-lucky Spider-Man. Just didn't work for me.
Well, I think this was kind of an interesting element that they went with, sort of, which was different from the Tobey Maguire one, which I think was interesting, but actually it would have been better if they had done more. So I think, the kind of cocky element of, traditionally you'd see like, oh, you know, yeah, I want to be a wrestler, I want to earn money. Uncle Ben dies, that's what puts the responsibility in his head. For this one, Uncle Ben dies, and he does not start out with like, oh, like his thought process doesn't seem to be like, oh, if I had stopped that guy, you know, if I had done the, you know, done the right thing. He's motivated by vengeance. Like, that's what starts the journey. Mm-hmm. And I think actually that was quite interesting. So like, if you have the power to enact revenge, and you know, he's hunting these people down, what does that do to someone? And I think that he is genuinely a good person. That's what keeps him from going over the top. But like, when he was like torturing that carjacking guy, like shooting him in the nuts with his webs and everything,
which got in our house got a loud audible laugh.
Did it?
From you?
No, but I think with some of those bits, it was almost like an opportunity for him to like, I thought it was quite interesting him going around looking for the mark on the wrist.
Yeah,
but it was clearly an opportunity for him to like have a go at some low-level villains. But it was just the acceleration of his cockiness was far, much too quick.
Yeah, I think in general that needed to be played out in a different way. And then what didn't happen, what we didn't get, and maybe it's the death of Captain Stacy that does that, we don't get the next switch. Or maybe it was the bridge scene or something. Like, I think when he saves that kid, that is when it's supposed to be, when it becomes being like, I was using these powers to find Ben's killer. Now I can see that I can use them to help people, but I think all that was like a little bit too muddled. I think if that had been clear, it would have been a much stronger film. But I do like him.
Yeah.
Plus he's dreamy.
He's very dreamy. Good lips.
Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
I mean, forever. I will see Emma Stone do anything. I love her.
Have you seen her in Easy A?
Yes.
One of my favorite films of all time.
She's great. Good movie. I really liked her in this, and my God, like, there's some proper chemistry between the two of them as well.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think that's just because, you know, they famously ended up dating through because of this film.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Man. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Power couple.
Is she blonde or redheaded?
I wouldn't really
say
power couple.
Well, not anymore.
I mean, Emma Stone is all the power in that couple.
That's a very fair point. I think she's sort of got like strawberry blonde-ish hair. It's so hard to tell with that.
Yeah, she was great in this film.
Yeah, great. Love a bit of more spunkiness.
Yeah.
You know, got a good whack on the lizard with that trophy.
Ignored Peter Parker / Spider-Man's advice.
Yeah.
Created the antidote.
Yeah.
Really saved New York from quite a lot of
bad
things.
And like figuring out that goddamn deathbed promise. Oh, God, what is it with Spider-Man and deathbed promises? So infuriating. Anyway, sorry.
I really enjoyed her scene, her kind of like Jurassic Park hiding in the cupboard from giant lizard shock.
Double bluff.
That was good fun. I liked that a lot.
Are we ready for our next one?
Yes.
Rhys Ifans as Kurt Connors, the lizard. The big bad guy.
Okay, so I really like this actor. He's done some amazing things.
I didn't realise until this watch through that he was the guy from Notting Hill, the Hugh Grant's housemate.
Yeah,
wearing the snorkels.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Spot on, right?
Plus, he does have range.
I mean, this was... I mean, they just needed a villain.
I'm over smart villains in the Spider.
Smart villains.
Yeah. They just like they all like pontificate.
Oh, yeah.
They all wear a lab coat. They all want to change humanity for the better. But just give me a baddie.
I think he was supposed to be. So there's this idea of like this shadowy behind the scenes. Like he was developing this formula, even though he was motivated by wanting to have another arm. It was like, I guess, like so supposed to be done in service of Norman Osborn, who's dying? Like, is that what was happening?
Yeah, I think so. The connection here, I believe, in the movie is that the technology is being created, or at least the research is being funded by Norman Osborn or Oscorp, because Norman Osborn is dying,
right.
And that's where... Ifran Khanna's Rajit Ratha, cheers and booze, anyone? Yeah, he's not really in the movie. But is the go-between where, you know, we're going to take back your funding if you don't figure this out soon enough.
Right
there. Which is the motivation of how he's able to do such an insane piece of research.
Right.
With
the best, like, graphics department any any research company has surely ever had, given, you know, half the research was just done by... animated minds. we'll go into more villain motivation later.
That's fine. Let's blast through these. We've got Dennis Leary as Captain Stacy.
Yes. Yeah, I liked him.
Martin Sheen as Uncle Ben.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, he was really good.
Sally Field as Aunt May.
I mean, I love Sally Field. I do feel she was a bit underused.
No, I thought she was really well used in this. Was she the mom in Transformers as well?
Don't know, not seen it.
Oh, I have no idea. Huh? Maybe.
Do you want to know what else Sally Field has been in?
Just see if she's in Transformers. I'm sure she plays the ditzy mum in Transformers as well.
Ditzy mum.
I really like the first Transformers. I can't remember.
So Sally Field, actress in.
I mean, she's been in lots of stuff. She's an amazing actress. Steel Magnolias, amazing.
Most known for Forrest Gump.
Oh, God, yeah, of course.
Transformers. Control F, Transformers. Transformer, no.
Oh, who was it? Was she in... Was she Mrs. Doubtfire? No, is that someone else?
Yeah. She was in Mrs. Doubtfire. So, yes. I mean, I feel like she was a big improvement over our last incarnation of Aunt May. You know, just like in terms of having more to do. Like, she was definitely a more fleshed out character. But man, Peter was a dick to her throughout. Like, that scene where he's just yelling at her to go to bed. I was like, you go to bed, Peter! Shut up! Anyway.
I think that she was, like, concerned, but almost... Too concerned at some points.
I mean, he was showing up with his face beaten every night. That feels legit to me.
Just go to bed. Campbell Scott as Richard Parker. His dad.
Oh, right, yes.
As soon as we jump out of the cast, can I ask some questions about the dad?
Simmer down, yes.
Okay, thanks.
We've got a whole podcast.
Okay, I've just got so many questions.
Mary Parker, fine. Flash, you know.
Oh my God, Flash. Like, what the hell? Like, that was... So, I kind of liked that by the end they were sort of pals or whatever, but, like, that kid belongs in jail. Like, he... Like, the amount of violence he inflicted on Peter in, like, the schoolyard. Like, when he kicked him in the ribs when he was down. I'm sorry, like that. It's weird. Given that there was a movie with it's a movie with a lot of like superhero violence. And
it's
everything,
a movie with 6 foot teenagers.
Well, yes, sure, but like I was that scene really upset me, and I don't know why, but like when Flash was beating Peter up in that way, like they took that too far, and I think that made Flash an irredeemable character sort of later on, though you know Peter choked him at one point.
Yeah, well, there was that one scene where like Flash kind of went up to Peter after Uncle Ben died to like console him, which kind of led you to the conclusion that Flash had suffered some sort of, you know, father or uncle figure death, but it just wasn't explained at all.
The only other interaction they had was
in the basketball court.
Yeah, Peter doing another amazingly poor job of hiding his secret identity. He's really bad at that in this film.
So the movie starts off, we get another humdinger of an origin story. Everyone, I'm sure, knows how Spider-Man gets his powers without seeing a movie. He's bitten by a spider. The spider gives him some powers, and then he slowly figures out that he's got Spider-Man powers. His uncle dies, he regrets it, and turns into a superhero. How do you feel this movie treated that? Do you think that they handled it well, with care? Anything new or different?
So, not having seen the second one, I don't know how the stuff they set up in this one kind of pays off.
What do you think they set up in this movie? Just a quick tangent.
The whole thing with his dad, like obviously, like, are we supposed to assume that his dad was like experimenting on Peter? Like, was Peter being experimented on?
I don't understand the dad story at all. Yeah. Is that in the comic books?
Don't ask me.
I don't know. It very possibly in some iteration.
I'm sure, much like the movie, there's 20 iterations, if not more, of how the story plays out. However, what I would say, I think my impression was that he was doing research with Kurt Connors, but he wasn't experimenting on Peter. Okay. He was just doing some work at home.
Right.
I mean, I don't think anything that we see there leads to him getting his powers.
Well... So, this is the thing I found a bit confusing. And then there's, like, the mid-credit scene or whatever that we can talk about later. As we do...
Did you not watch the credits?
I watched the end one.
Yeah, it's the end credits.
Yeah, it's an end credits.
Oh, right. Okay.
We were in the decade of mid-credits.
So, my understanding of was that... So...
Spit it out.
You've got too many of those Roy Vita thins.
No, so there's a point in this film where they talk about how they're kind of looking at using different kinds of animals to sort of integrate that into into like human DNA to kind of combine that. And there are a few different examples that they used. But one of the things they said was that you had to find the compatible mix of like the kind of formula of that animal and like the compatible person. So
like blood type.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. So I kind of took that to be that Peter was susceptible to getting these bites from this random spider because his father, maybe not experimenting on Peter, but maybe had been using Peter's blood or somehow Peter was an element of his father's experiments. Maybe that's me making a wild leap in logic, but
I can't remember the second movie too well.
I've never seen it, so.
I'm going to go with... And that would feel a bit absurd.
Okay.
Don't you think that would be absurd?
Would it be absurd?
I mean, I think it would be absurd.
Okay.
If suddenly it was like, actually, it was your father all along, Peter.
Well, his dad has to be like...
They've now
built him up so much to like have kind of a bigger presence. And like and Uncle Ben was still like hiding stuff about... you know, why he was ditched and everything. I don't know. I feel like there was a lot of setup for no payoff in this film.
But to your point about what you liked that was the same plot as before, I actually thought the introduction of his father was interesting. Like, you start that film and it's kind of like, oh, that's not how Spider-Man films usually start. You don't start with this kind of like spy heist thing. And actually in a lot of the Spider-Man films, the parents disappearing isn't ever explained.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, it's not very similar to Batman in the way that you see them in an alley getting
every time the pearls falling on the alleyway floor. But I think that I really, really liked in this film I didn't like Uncle Ben dying, but I liked the treatment of Uncle Ben dying in this one. I really liked it from planting in the seed of you need to remember your responsibility to pick up May tonight from wherever she is, work presumably, through to ignoring the calls from Uncle Ben, through to getting home and then being sat on the porch, and then the dynamic to Uncle Ben and May being like, no, don't tell him off, yes, he needs to turn off. I really like the glass breaking in the door, and then Uncle Ben trying to go out and find him. I thought that was a really, really nice treatment of... I definitely saw it coming because everyone knows that Uncle Ben dies, but I thought it was a better way of treating it than we had in the first one. And I also like the little touches of like him falling through into the wrestling ring, and that's where he gets the idea, not him signing up to the wrestling match and all that kind of stuff. I thought,
but he's the most persistent street thugs ever. Like, my God, they just chased him.
And how fast were they?
Yeah.
So they like...
There's New York thugs.
It was like an acre of them as well.
But I thought all that... And I thought the super smart bit about that section as well is that you could tell it was leading up to the with great power comes great responsibility line. And he couldn't finish listening to the voicemail because he was so upset.
Yeah.
I thought that whole section was the best articulation of the Spider-Man story of the whole film.
Yeah. And that, and I think the voicemail coming back at the end as well, I think, was really...
Yeah.
Like neat and tidy. I thought that was good.
I thought the handling of that bit was great.
Did you know that, just to go back to the street thugs, did you know that a lot of, or the majority of like New York alleyway scenes are actually shot in, I think it's somewhere like Chicago, because there's not actually any alleyways in New York. Apparently there's like, and I'm, you know, as an American, Anna. But yeah, apparently New York doesn't have all of these alleyways that everyone assumes they do in movies with bins and all that sort of stuff. Apparently they just don't exist.
Well, real estate's a premium, isn't it? You probably put a block of flats there.
Yeah, but pop culture has made it appear like they exist. And actually there's a couple of alleyways. I think there's one alleyway in particular in somewhere like Chicago that, you know, all of these scenes are shot in. And the place is like... busy 365 days a year with people shooting alleyway scenes for movies.
That's so funny. So it has like a booking system for
alleyway. It's crazy.
That's funny.
I just like you know, so if anyone ever goes to New York and you happen to stumble upon an alley,
I've been to New York, they're definitely alleys. I mean, they're not like everywhere in the same way, and you're right, like neighborhoods, the houses are in very big like blocks, like they're, you know, like what we have over here, they're pretty much just like Muse houses with sort of like stacked, you know, stacked on top of each other. But I mean, an alley every now and again.
I mean, you find an alleyway for me with bins.
Yeah, probably not as cinematic as these, to be honest. Yeah.
Metal staircase.
A hovercraft.
And yeah, one of those like chain link fences that you can't.
Oh, right, right.
Just too tall, something like that.
No, fair.
If you see one, send us in a pic. Right. So we're talking about his origin story. Do we think that his powers, the way he gets his powers, compares well to, I guess, you know, what we saw in original Spider-Man was a little bit more like, well, I can do these now, where this was quite distressing. You know, he had the sweats quite profusely at one point.
I didn't like that subway scene. I really didn't like it. Like, I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was just really bizarre. It seemed very unnatural. Like, the whole way that thing played out.
Yeah,
no, I, that my hand stuck to a shirt.
Yeah, and I didn't really get who the group of people were.
Subway bums.
Yeah, it just didn't really make sense, I don't think.
But
choo choo.
Yeah.
This brings us on to another classic Marvel train scene.
Yay!
It's hard, it counts.
I mean,
it totally counts.
But this in comparison to like Doc Ock from the last one.
Well, yeah, okay, it doesn't compare to Doc, but that's why we're ranking them. How does it compare to Thanos' children in the Edinburgh train station?
That definitely isn't
exactly. So, you know,
I feel like we need to create a threshold for this.
No, it's just train scenes in Marvel movies. Right, okay, so here we go. This is a scene on a train, subway train. How do you feel they make use of the carriage as well?
Stop it! I'm not engaging in this section.
I think the use of the space was good. You know, it kind of, the good thing about like a subway car, because you're very confined, he can't like get away, he can't just like run away from,
so he just has to stick to the roof.
He has to pull the subway pole off.
That was weird.
But it was like upside down. Oh, it was very strange. But I thought, in terms of like Marvel movie train scenes, I think it's a good one, but I don't actually like this scene all that much.
Yeah, I mean, the rationality of that guy to be like, he's like, I'm trying to get my hand off. And clearly he's like, I'm not doing this. Mm. And then for that guy just flip out.
Yeah, it goes like zero to 100. Like,
yeah.
Dude, get your hand off. And he's like, it's stuck. And he thinks someone would be like, well, unstick it then. And he'd be like, but I can't. And he'd be like, well, let's try and resolve this. Instead, he's like, I'm trying to unstick it. Fuck you.
Yeah. And they're just like, were they like a gang? It just felt like everyone in the subway car just suddenly decided to fight, like, to participate really in this fight. I mean, I haven't spent that much time in New York, so...
New York subway cars are never that quiet.
I guess it depends what line,
we didn't know what
time
of day it was, right?
You know, I heard that there's quieter lines.
Right, so what's our user submission?
Okay, so... Ethan.
User submission?
Do we have a list at the moment?
Yeah, I've got a list. Cool. I've got a living list.
Great.
Let me run through that. Then we've got Captain Marvel... Ant-Man, the Nazis, Thanos' children, Killmonger, Wolverine, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3, Amazing Spider-Man 1. Any others I'm missing?
Did we talk about X-Men?
Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix. So we've got Dark Phoenix in here. Dark Phoenix times 2.
Yeah.
And we've got Spider-Man...
Spider-Man 2 and 3.
The Spider-Man Tom Holland, you mentioned it.
Oh, we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
But it is on the... We have put it on the list,
But we're not there yet.
Right, fine. Fine.
You're trying to jump ahead to 3 episodes time. Just chill.
I've been through the Spider-Verse.
Where Ethan on Instagram has sent in a recommendation for a great train scene. And
hi, Ethan.
If you want... Hi, Ethan. Thanks for sending this in. If you want to pause for a minute and watch it, you may want to do that. Mm. Avengers, Age of Ultron. And that's the face I pulled, Anna, which is like, what train scene in Age of Ultron? Oh. There is a moment when, you know when Black Widow is doing all the like riding bikes fast in between traffic sort of stuff?
Yeah.
Captain America is on a train fighting Ultron in the train. And that's the moment where Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch decide that they're going to team up with the Avengers.
Yes.
And they all start fighting Ultron in the train.
Yeah. Oh,
but wait, there's more. And then what happens is the train gets to the end of the tracks and it busts off the tracks.
God, yes.
And like Quicksilver's darting around the markets trying to like save people from the path of the train.
Yeah.
And Scarlet Witch like melts the wheels of the train to get it to stop.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's loads of other stuff happening with Hawkeye and a Quinjet and all that sort of stuff. But it's like, it's about 3 minutes long.
Damn.
And Cap and Ultron get to some pretty gnarly fighting as well.
Damn.
Oh, what good,
well
good
done,
shout, Ethan.
What a great submission,
that's
right?
That's a really good one.
I think there's so many moving parts in that scene that you almost don't go, oh, it's a train.
Okay.
Nice.
But when you see
I'm
going
to rewatch that before we do the ranking
at
the end of the
absolutely.
Series.
Absolutely. We'll have a mega viewing of all the train scenes.
Nice.
But I think that one is going to
be
quite strong.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
So thank you for sending that in. If we've missed any more and you're aware of one, please.
Tim, there's just one in every film.
I think that's pretty much what we're heading towards here. I reckon there's probably a few more in the X-verse that we've not yet twigged on.
Yeah, they like a train, don't they?
But we'll them X-Men, those muties, they love a train.
Are they in a... Oh, I just thought of one.
Oh my god.
So
choo-choo, it's another Marvel train scene.
It's when Rogue goes AWOL, like the Mystique.
Oh, yeah, in the train station.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
my
it's
God.
In the train station, and then she's on the train when Magneto comes and is like, busts open the train. And she just tries to run. He like flips the thing into her neck, and meanwhile, really poor fighting is happening
in the train station. With Toad and Storm and
Cyclops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
I quite like that one.
That's a good one too.
Yeah, it's a good train as well.
There's got to be more. Yes, send them in, everyone. If you think of them. Thank you, Ethan. That was great.
Oh, I've thought of another one. I've definitely thought another one. Choo choo! It's another Marvel train scene. There is the classic in Logan. There is the classic driving across the desert and jump the car in front of the train before it steams through the. Don't say it's not a train scene.
Well, it is, but
it's a train scene.
Can there be like a minimum length of the film it takes up? Like it has to be like over a minute.
I think you should just take it upon yourself to rank those ones lower.
Right,
Martin.
Fine.
Right, Right, okay.
Right, excellent, great.
I think that's a classic section that's got to stay. I think we're really onto something with this. We've got these writers in a corner. We're going to have to innovate sooner rather than later. Okay, so we go through the movie. We've got our origin story. We've got our evolution of Spider-Man and his powers. I think what we're heading towards here is we're going to have a conversation about the motivation for all of the things that happen in this movie.
Yeah.
Dr. Kurt Connors, his lovely haircut, and the lizard. I mean, I'm very glad that in this movie he doesn't eat his son.
Oh,
yeah, that's a big lizard thing. He eats his son.
Oh,
and Kurt Connors is sort of awake inside the lizard at the time. So you see the dialogue of him screaming like, no, don't, come on, don't do it. And the lizard eats his soul.
That would have been a much more mature rating, I think.
But it's okay. He eventually reanimates his son, but his son's a... The only way he can do it is using his regenerative technology.
All right. And his son a lizard.
His son's a lizard, yeah. Okay. So him and then to make them all feel welcome, he turns his wife into a lizard.
Oh, my God.
And they all live in the sewers as a lizard family.
Oh, those poor people. I mean, but these sewers would be okay because...
Don't laugh. His son's a lizard boy.
Well, at least they've got, like, the cleanest sewers in the world.
What,
like,
do you think
just
happens during lizard puberty?
No.
Things flake off.
Well,
okay, this is another thing. I don't live in New York, so again, New Yorkers write in about this. Are there that many lizards just like in New York? There were a lot
I remember
of
there
lizards.
Being. I've been to Florida and there's a lot of lizards.
Oh, sure, yes. There are tons of lizards in Florida. Tons. But are there like lizards hanging out in the sewers? You know, warm-blooded mammals who are mammals. Warm-blooded reptiles who like heat and light. They just want to chill in these like crystal clear waters of the sewer.
Dan's fingers tight very quickly, and I hope he's doing a Bing search.
A Bing search.
Bing. What kind of lizards live in New York? Are there lizards in Long Island?
No, but there is one lizard family.
There is no native population of lizards on Long Island.
Well, so they've obviously migrated up from Florida to hang out with King Lizard. But okay, so let's talk about that then. So in the comics, just from what you said there, it makes it seem like the lizard and Dr. Connors are two entirely separate creatures that just share...
Like Venom?
Like Venom. Yes, like so. Is that how it is in the comics, Dan?
Sorry, I was reading about lizards in New York.
Oh, what? So, just from what you said about like, oh no, don't eat my son. Are the lizard and Doc Connors like two different creatures?
Yeah. So I mean, Kurt Connors isn't always sentient inside the lizard in that he can't. He's not just waiting there for the lizard to stop. That was a specific point in time where he was trying to wrestle back his consciousness.
Right. Okay.
But. Yeah, the lizard is very much like the Hulk. You turn into the lizard.
Okay.
And the lizard is a being of its own control.
Okay. I think that was very poorly done in this film. Because, like, I think it was a real mistake. Like, I thought, like, the lizard, I thought, looked great. Yeah. I was really impressed with the way he looked.
Like when his tail regrew out of his own tail.
Oh, that's classic lizard.
I liked it, but there was just something about the way it was done that was very much...
I mean, the arm was vile, but anyway.
Big, floppy, gelatinous arm.
Oh my God, that was so good. That you just, like, if you would regenerate that, would you suddenly just start tearing into it as well? I mean, anyway, so I think it was...
Sorry, just freaked me out again.
I think it was... a mistake for, like, right off the back of Doc Ock, when we've got, like, him battling with the arms in his brain as well. It seemed like...
I don't think anyone, when writing this movie or making this movie, sat down and went, right, what do we need to do to stop audiences from confusing this or feeling fatigued by the previous Spider-Man movies?
No, they definitely didn't.
I thought because you see that in recent ones, which we won't go into too much, but they've definitely stayed away from themes...
Yeah.
That were played out in these films, where this was just like, what's classic Spider-Man? I know, the lizard, Uncle
Ben.
Going
crazy when you like experiment
New
on yourself.
York.
Yeah, and also, they didn't, until right at the very end, like when he turned back into the human, into the man, like he was really excited about what had happened as he was a lizard. So he did this kind of like, he turned into a YouTuber at one point and was like vlogging his experiments.
Yeah.
But he was so excited about what had happened with him as a lizard. Yeah. There was like no remorse whatsoever.
No.
There was no tension between, like, if you think about like Hulk, you know, and Bruce Banner like worrying about what he does. Mm-hmm. Venom, probably not so much because he's a bit weird anyway, but there was just no like reason for...
Totally. And this whole thing that suddenly came out of nowhere where it's like, oh, you know, I want to help all the misfits and turn everybody into lizards. Like, what? Like, what was that plan?
I have a massive problem, and of course I do, because it's me, but I have a massive problem with the terminology that Dr. Connors uses to talk about himself.
Oh, agreed.
Like, he introduced himself to 15 brand new interns, and his opening line was, I'm not a cripple, I'm a scientist.
Yeah.
That was his opening gambit, and I'm like, well, let's not use cripple to start. Mm. Secondly, you can be disabled and be a scientist. You can be anything and be a scientist. Fine. And then he said, I long to fix myself.
Yeah.
I was like, that's... And then there was that weird moment where he was like standing in front of like a glass mirror to give himself two arms. Mm-hmm, strange. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then when he was right at the end, when he was doing his big kind of explainer of why he was going to gas everyone, he said, I want a world without weakness.
Yeah.
And I was like... All of this language I have a massive problem with, especially for 2012. But also, if he had such a problem with his own disability, that's a really interesting thing to explore.
Yes.
Fine.
But
explore it. Yes. Don't just use these kind of like throwaway comments to just like talk about this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was just, it didn't ground him in any way, either like really hating his body or being, such a pro-disablist or whatever the term might be, that he wants to make everyone else disabled so they can there's nothing.
And it's not done in a way that makes him... It's not done in a way that adds to his villainous either.
No.
It's not done in a way that you're watching it and you go, shame on that guy, what a dick.
Totally.
Because no one calls him out on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there could have been moments where he interacts with other disabled people and he's really horrible to them because they're comfortable with their disability.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was just none of that.
I completely agree. That's one of the things that I wrote down. Like, I really did not like that was his motivation without a deeper understanding of maybe like the way he lost it was so traumatic or it was linked with like another like loss or sort of something like that. Or he was, you know, even just sort of showing other people treating him horribly.
Yeah.
For, you know, just like I had serious issues with that as well, and then like the plan, and I don't like also how they kind of threw in this thing about how they were going to be testing the formula at the VA hospital where presumably, I mean, you know, unfortunately, commonly there are veterans that have sort of missing limbs, things like that. To then just like chuck that in there, being like, oh, we're going to experiment on.
Yeah.
The veterans who will also be desperate to get their, you know, limbs back. Like, that whole thing, I think, was handled very poorly. And then just, like, turning people into lizards willy-nilly. Like, no payoff from those poor cops that got turned into lizards. I mean, presumably they got, like...
The mist de-lizarded.
Sure. Yeah. But, like, I was like, what was the point of that? Like, surely... I thought they were going to be, like, mini-bosses. Like, that Peter was going to have to fight his way through them first. The whole lizard thing was...
I don't think that would happen in modern filmmaking. But I say modern filmmaking, that was like less than a decade ago.
I did like the fighting style though. Like, I liked that he felt formidable. Like, when in the sewers, when he like scratches Peter. I thought the fight in the school was great. Yeah. Great Stan cameo.
Oh yeah, him. That has got to be one that I think we talked about that in the Stan Lee tribute.
Yeah, must have been,
I think that was one of our highly ranked.
Yeah,
that was a great. Great cameo. I really liked that he turned up at the school as well. That felt like a really dangerous moment. Yeah, him as a lizard, great.
Mm-hmm.
Him as Doc, at any moment, not for me.
Not that great.
Really nice house, though.
I'd live
in his house.
Yeah.
There's something as well about this, the school visit.
Mm.
Well, not the school visit, the internship as well, which
I
just found so weird as why Peter Parker's... I mean, I know he's there looking after Kirk, like looking to meet Kirk Connors.
Yeah.
But there's just something about it which feels really... They could have had a better solution than him pretending to be on the internship.
Terrible security at that place. Yeah.
That was for a film that doesn't have a lot of laughs, that was quite funny, I thought.
Do you think there's something, a positive for diversity, that they looked at him and went, you're plausibly Rodrigo Guevara. And then when actor from Ecuador turns up, go, oh no, you're not Rodrigo Guevara, that white guy, that's that guy, you know, I mean, is that a win for diversity? I'm not really sure.
No.
I feel bad for the kid being dragged off. Like, surely they would have gone, really this doesn't make sense.
And also, can you imagine working in Oscorp Tower and every time you go into work, you're having to go up the escalator and listen to the story of Oscorp?
Oh, yeah, that would be
You'd be like,
really
will
great.
You just shut up? Yeah. That giant hologram of him looking down at you every morning.
Maybe yeah. they've got, like, a staff entrance where you don't have to go through every
time. Welcome to Oscorp. Yeah.
There just lacks of security all around. Like, talk about Gwyneth Paltrow would be trapped forever in that place. Like, that weird little, like, key code thing that he had to,
goop.
Like... but, like, that key code thing that he had to, like, open up to get into Nightmare Lab. Like, oh, that yeah. weird sort of, like, moving thing. And he saw it from, like, 5 miles away and was just like, oh, yeah, bleep, bleep, bleep.
I think Gwyneth Paltrow's would spell goop. I think that would be her keypad.
The goop lab.
Oh, poor Pepper.
I think that could make a pretty formidable villain, but you know, we'll see. The Goop Lab.
Oh,
that
right. oh.
sounds like a very sort of, you know.
I thought you were talking about Rodrigo still.
Yeah,
he's just like, well, you know, I did a little Google search. You know, at the time I was like, does he turn into someone? You know, is he like, Peter, I'll get you for destroying my internship.
My
I was
future,
like,
yeah.
it feels like
Who's
someone.
The intern now?
It feels like, you know, the kind of like one note villain in Spider-Man's sort of archive of
yeah.
villains
yeah.
that would pop up. Because, I mean, you know, when you read the card, he has so
oh,
yeah. many street-level yeah. villains that come in one issue, disappear the next. I thought maybe that's a nod to, like, you know, someone. It wasn't. It was, just
oh,
someone, Rodrigo Guevara. So I thought it was weird. I don't know. It's one of those story coincidences, like, why is Emma Stone there? Why are they flirting about who's the most intelligent? It's like, oh, I'm first in the class of science. Well, I'm sure he's second. Oh, it's like, I don't know. Something about it was just like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I do like I said, I like the chemistry in this. I like that she learns his identity pretty sharpish as well. Thank God for that.
And then he necks her. He's like, don't take time to process this. I'm going to stick my tongue down your throat. And she's like...
No, she was so thirsty for him. Like, she yeah. like she wanted him, like, right from the beginning. You know, which is great. But I it was a little bit unclear to me why she was so into him at the start. Like, he seemed like a bit of a bummer. You know, again, like, kind of creepily taking photos from a distance. His uncle
He's got you on
her,
your computer.
I'm his computer.
I'm his parole officer. Like, I mean, I love
Yeah, I did think the moment where they were trying to, like, organize a date with each other was, like, too excruciatingly cringeworthy. Where they were like, oh, dear, are you free? Yeah, see you then.
Yeah,
and
that
it's
was
like,
weird.
Just do a sentence.
But
it's
that's how they've done, you know, like, they've got, that's how they make Peter Parker in this iteration, like, a dork. Like, unable to mm-hmm. articulate, you know, because he's got his cool skateboard, he's got the good body, you know, even when he's got, like, bloody gashes over it. It's weird to make out when your chest is bleeding and girlfriend's mopping it up. That was
There's
great.
Not a lot of topless Andrew Garfield in this film. Not as much as Tobey Maguire.
Was a lot to say he's meant to be in high school.
Yeah, he was like 30 when he made this
yeah.
film, didn't he?
I can't believe they tried to pass this off as high school.
Again.
I just
you.
Can't believe. Like, yeah. at least have the fucking decency to say that it's college.
I yeah. quite liked Emma Stone's schoolgirl-ness. Like, she wore hairbands. Yeah. She was always kind of clutching a load of binders.
Yeah.
She was kind of always near a locker. Like, that was quite, like, caricature.
Is that true of the American school system? Are you clutching. Always near a locker?
Oh,
you're definitely always
near a locker. Mm. 100%. Like, the hallways are just lockers. Books, meh. Yes and no. You don't usually. Well, at least in my high school, we had backpacks. Like, you put the stuff
well, she
in
had
the
a backpack as well.
Yeah.
She's carrying so
are you
much
allowed
knowledge.
To be in hallways in American schools? Because my memory of school is that, yeah, you have a locker, but a locker is a very much transactional thing. It is like you go to it and then you either go outside or go to your class.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There is no, like, socializing that happens around lockers.
There definitely is in the morning.
Or
totally.
Personalization.
Personalization on the inside, 100%. And in the
Who
morning.
Has that much time around that locker? It's like, if you're in the corridor and the bell's ringing, it's like, get the...
It's just what people do. Yeah, in between classes, not so much. But, like, in the morning, definitely. Like, you had your spot in the hallway that everyone, like, your group hung out at.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wouldn't necessarily be near your locker.
That was just called outside at my school. No matter what the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's England for you.
Outside.
Get outside.
Get outside.
Oh, I was going to say something about the school, but I've forgotten what it is.
It was there. There were six and a half foot teenagers.
I do appreciate that we didn't actually spend that much time in the school because it just wasn't believable because they were all 30-year-olds just like hanging out in the school.
Yeah, if you're going to meddle with the origin story, why don't you meddle with the bit that actually aligns to your actors?
Yeah.
Well, I don't hate this much as you two do. I think it's fine.
Why put it in a school?
You're not there for very long. So.
Yeah. I thought it was fine. It was just very dark. Like, well, everything in this film.
This whole film was dark.
I thought it was difficult. If I'm being serious, I did find it difficult that they were so old in this. Like, if you were to tell me that this was a 30-year-old Peter Parker. Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because of how tall he is. Like, when I first saw him in that Spider-Man suit, I was like, you were not a kid.
He's gangly.
Where at least when you see Tobey Maguire, and you see him, you know, Spider-Man isn't gangly.
Yeah.
Right? And I saw Tobey Maguire, and when he's got the suit, and you're like, you know, okay, I know that you look like a little, really grown up young man inside, but actually, when you got the suit on, you're a believable Spider-Man. Where this guy's like towering over, I can imagine seeing him in the street. I'd be like, what's the weather like up there? He's that tall.
Well, he does have a very distinct body shape, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and that kind of speaks to again, like, my God, how bad was he at keeping his identity secret in this film? Like his.
Oh, he didn't care.
His mask was always off. He told everybody, like...
Psst, I'm Spider-Man.
Like, also, do we think that Aunt May has, like, figured out who he is?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know,
when she's watching the TV with the orange juice.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, Stacy knows. I did like...
And the other Stacy knows.
All the Stacy knows.
But he's dead.
Captain Stacy. Well, so, oh, man, I found that dinner scene just, like, excruciating. I was suffering during that one. But I do like that he kind of in some way sort of filled... What?
Branzino.
Do you want to come for Branzino? You like Branzino?
I do. Oh my God.
Branzino?
One thing that got another great laugh was when Emma Stone was excusing away her dad when she was in a bedroom with Peter Parker there. And she was like, I've got the cramps and everything. And he was like, okay. Yeah. It's fine.
Everyone knows that hot chocolate makes cramps better. Like that is like you want some hot chocolate. At least me personally. But I do like that Gwen Stacy's dad sort of played the role of like the Jonah Jameson character in this a bit, like the antagonist.
And I really like that Spider-Man can never have a good meal with an authority figure.
Oh, yeah.
So like Tobey Maguire realizes, you know, he's got the blood.
Yeah.
The blood dripping sitch. This one he has an argument about Spider-Man, and obviously in the future ones we know what happens with the old vulture.
Yeah.
Opening the door.
The family yeah. gatherings are just cringe.
Oh,
can't catch a break.
Is this now a new segment?
Marvel awkward
dinner scenes. Yay.
I mean, I feel like a whole podcast is Marvel dinner scenes because we just eat throughout this. Eating.
I think there's quite a lot of Marvel dinner scenes. There's the shawarma.
Oh no, don't start this.
But like again to like the identity thing. I'm interested to see in the second movie kind of how that kind of plays out again. If he's a little, like, you know, you could kind of chalk it up to just sort of recklessness. He's not in the headspace yet of, like, I really need to protect people. I need to, like, be careful. So, you know, he's doing things like yelling Gwen's name into a cell phone while he's wearing the spider suit. And there's, like, a few people just hanging out around him. Or, like, the bit where he, like, throws the football and, like, dents the football goalposts. Like, surely anyone in his high school would see Spider-Man on TV and be like,
and all
that's
of
Peter
those
Parker.
New York street thugs see him.
Yeah. They've seen his face. They said it. I saw your face. I know your face.
I've seen your face, weirdo. Yeah. So, thinking of Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 then. Before we move on to a little bit of a chat about that, has anyone got anything pressing about this movie?
Okay. So, something I have to say. And
have to.
Yeah. So, in general, I felt this movie was quite slow.
Okay.
It was very, like, style.
Which is not great for a movie that's 2.5 hours long.
Oh, God, tell me about it. I think there was one point where, like, paused to use the bathroom, and, like, there was, like, an hour and 15 minutes left, and I was like, what the hell?
I also did a how long is left pause.
Which is never a good thing, particularly when it's supposed to be an action movie. And kind of, And so, yeah, so I felt a lot of times it was like style over substance. And I was like, I don't quite get why I'm not enjoying this. Because, like, in many ways, it's ticking the boxes that I like. The action, there wasn't a lot of action.
It took a long time to get exciting.
Definitely. But then, midway through, I put my finger on what my real problem with this was and why this movie didn't come together. And for me, it is mother effing music. Like, I'm sorry. Like, and I mentioned this to Dan because I think if you don't notice it, it's just not a presence there. It is so wrong. Like, it's so wrong. It's so, like, it's like Lord of the Rings music. It is so instrumental. It is, like, whenever it's playing, it is not, in my opinion, kind of meshing what is happening on screen. It also makes it, it doesn't make it feel like young. It doesn't make it feel like exciting. And like during all, like the scene where Spider-Man is like quipping, he's like in the car, things like that. There's instrumental music happening behind that. And it's just like during the fight scene. And when I really noticed it was that in the Stanley cameo moment when he's like listening to classical music, that's when I really noticed that there is not enough of a difference between the fight music that's happening and this classical music that he's listening to, which is supposed to be a humorous moment. Mm-hmm. As soon as I noticed the score, the movie really, really suffered for me. It was so wrong. And there was actually a point. So, you know, when Gwen's doing the hiding from the lizard thing, it's supposed to be really suspenseful. And there is a straight up one of those like piano like dong, like discord things. And I seriously thought for a second, I was like, why is there a piano in the laboratory? Like, I genuinely thought the lizard had trod on a piano. Like, that has just how incongruous the music was with this film. So anyone that's like rewatching it, I hate to spoil this experience for you, and I don't know if I just got a bee in my bonnet about it, but wow. I'd like to know if people feel the same.
I mean, so this once again builds us towards Spider-Man 2. James Horner, who was the composer, this is a quote about being asked to do The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
He refused to do the sequel because he said the movie ended up being so terrible I didn't want to do it.
Oh, Jesus.
It was just dreadful.
Oh. Wait, Spider-Man 1 was, or Spider-Man 2 was?
Spider-Man 2, I guess.
So he hated doing the Spider-Man 2 music.
Well, he didn't do it, though.
Oh, right.
So...
I thought Danny Elfman did the music in the first Spider-Man's.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Amazing Spider-Man.
Sorry. So the Amazing Spider-Man composer said it was so dreadful that he didn't want to do Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Gotcha. Sorry.
So, but, I mean, he did it. I don't think there's any love lost between...
I can't say that I noticed particularly much.
Once I noticed it, it changed everything. And I felt to myself, like, if the music was different... I think this could be really, really different. Really different feel. It dragged it down and just made everything so cheesy. Oh my God, like the crane scene. Fuck that fucking crane scene. Like, it was so cheesy, but the music made it so just, much worse.
I think for me, it wasn't necessarily a single kind of component like that. Mm. But my overarching feeling with this film is that there wasn't a whole amount of like joy in it.
Oh, God,
like Spider-Man is a joyful character on the whole, apart from the death stuff. Like, discovering those powers is always joyful when it's with Spider-Man, more than any other character, I think. And there wasn't a huge amount of laughs. Everything was relatively somber. It was all quite grey. Everything was kind of downbeat. I didn't feel like I was going on this really... Yeah. If it's called The Amazing Spider-Man, I didn't really feel amazed or, like, overjoyed at any particular bit of the film. It was all just quite... Maybe some of that is the music. Maybe it's the, you know, how it's coloured or graded. I don't know. It just felt flat for me.
Yeah. The only time I felt it was at the end, like the very, very end, when he's like doing the like whipping through the skies and he like shoots himself through that kind of like
so much fun.
That was fun. Yeah. That was fun.
But that was in what, the last 20 minutes. Yeah.
Not even like it was last like 15 seconds of the film.
So, Spider-Man 2. If you've not seen this movie, Anna.
No.
You have seen this movie.
I have, and I watched the trailer for it after Spider-Man 1, and I'm kind of excited because it's in daylight.
Okay.
Ooh,
so. I've seen it once. I didn't see it at the cinema. I watched it on television.
Yeah. Okay.
So what are you expecting out of Spider-Man 2?
Oh, man, I don't know.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
So I'm hoping for... So he's more comfortable in his powers. I want, like, that's the thing that I think surprised me the most about this movie, is I do like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. So I'm looking forward to seeing him more comfortable in this role. I'm hoping there is going to be a bit more of a, like, a juxtaposition of Peter Parker versus Spider-Man, or if there isn't, sort of an understanding of why that's happening. Mm-hmm. Some daylight will be great. Very excited about Martin's teasing that. And I want more of a payoff about what's going on with Peter's dad. I hope we'll see a bit of that.
Martin, what are your hopes? I know you've seen the trailer, but what would you be expecting out
more
of
more pace, I think.
It needs to move on a bit more of a clip, I think.
Yeah, it needs to be a bit faster, and just everyone feeling and being a bit more at ease. I think I feel like this film, there was a lot of like holding their breath, be like, is it too soon? Are we doing it too emo? Is it gonna pan like Spider-Man 3? I want Amazing Spider-Man 2 to just have a bit more bravado.
Okay, well, it's 2 minutes longer, so you know, hopefully that pace doesn't disappoint.
How about you, Dan?
What about me? What do I want out of superhero movies? I want an interesting villain. I don't care about whether they're trying to solve the world or do something social good. I just want someone with a great way of inflicting pain. You know what I mean? It's like, I think when you look at a villain, they've got to have an interesting element. This one, the lizard element of him, the only interesting thing that gave was that he could regenerate and was stronger.
Yeah.
Other than that, there wasn't an interesting dynamic to him being a lizard. Same with Doc Ock in the last movie. He had the extra arms, but the only interesting element that added really was that he was a little bit stronger. You know, he could toss a car or whatever. I think what I find most exciting in villains is when they have to be defeated with smarts.
Yeah.
So when you've got someone like an Ultron, who you can't beat Ultron with strength, but the strength plays a part in it, you know, throughout you have to fight them, but ultimately there's got to be a loophole way of defeating them. And I guess it's the same with like Thanos, you know, he's so powerful that you can't beat him with force. So how do you beat him? And I think that's where we got some really great superhero scenes. The other thing that I would say to that is, if you've got to beat them with force, then they have to be the strongest possible, undefeatable thing in the world. So I'll go back to the Invincible comic book. So there's a comic series called Invincible, best superhero comic in the galaxy. the Viltrumites there are like humans, but they are strong. They're like Superman equivalent strong. And when they fight each other, it is a battle of strength, but it is throw you into the sun, you may still regenerate, I've got to find a way to defeat you level strength.
Oh my God.
And that leads to insane fight scenes in the comics, but that has a value into its own. But I think if you're doing strength, it's got to be to that level of imperceptibly strong.
Right.
If it's just two people dueling it out a little bit, I'm not sure you know, there's always going to be a bigger fish. And I think that's what sort of takes it away a little bit.
Can you remember who our villains are in Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yep.
Electric-y guy.
Electric-y guy, yes.
Oh yeah, Jamie Foxx. I'm looking forward to
Green
seeing
Goblin.
Him. I really like Green Goblin. No. Is Green Goblin in the next one?
I don't want to spoil anything.
There's three, isn't there? Oh, and Rhino.
Thank you.
Rhino, yeah.
Thank you very much. Because don't forget,
there's
at the time,
great playing
this,
Rhino
next,
as well, isn't
this
it?
Next movie was designed to be a setup for a Sinister Six movie.
Oh, that's right.
So they were snowballing in some Rhino. They were peppering in some little bits here and there to set up a Sinister Six movie, which never happened. God.
We can talk about it next time.
But all I want is just a really interesting villain. Don't know if we're going to get it. We will see. Any final thoughts?
I think I've said it all.
Well, for you, does this movie stay or go?
Oh, this is hard. I feel like I can't make the decision without seeing the second one. Because I think, for me, this movie is it's very forgettable. I think it says so much that I never saw this movie in the cinema, and I love superhero movies. I can't believe it's taken me this long
what?
To see it.
You like superhero movies?
I do.
Season 3 revelation.
I know. It's crazy. I'm going to say, at the moment, with like the right to change my opinion after Amazing Spider-Man 2.
The Amazon Spider-Man.
There's not enough in this film for me to feel like it justifies its existence. As much as I love Martin Sheen and all those guys, I think this one has to go.
I think I would still rather watch this than Spider-Man 1.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
So we'll stay for me.
Damn.
It's going for me. What's the point? It serves no purpose. It tells no new interesting story.
I don't know. I think the Uncle Ben's death in this one is the best.
You're going to keep a movie based on how they kill a character?
Yeah.
All right. I can respect that.
I mean, yeah. Good for you. I respect the views of my peers. Right. And then throw them in the trash. Because this movie for me is a go. And I reserve my judgment to revisit it as a couple. I think we should probably do stay or go for each different franchise on reflection. But the movie standalone doesn't do anything new and exciting.
Great.
I think the only new way it innovates is it gives Spider-Man web shooters.
Yeah.
Which is a great relief.
No organic web shooter.
But he still organically has web coming out of him at one point.
Oh, that was so gross.
I know. Gross. Why? Anyway. Okay, so listeners, please let us know if you agree with our decisions on this movie. Let us know if there's any more Marvel train scenes out there. Hopefully, I'm hoping for a great train scene in Amazing Spider-Man 2. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other podcast services. If you want to listen to us again, but weren't happy with the app that you listen to us through, I can assure you the quality of the episode is the same everywhere, and that is terrible. Anna, if listeners want to find more of you through Between Now and Then, where can they find you?
They can get me on Instagram, Anna Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's.
And Martin, where can listeners find you?
Instagram, Martin Loves.
Fantastic. And of course, follow
A Marvelous Lunch Break
on Instagram. Brilliant. Thank you so much for swinging by. We are back in 2 weeks' time for Amazing Spider-Man 2. Brilliant. I flipped you both off. Thank you so much for swinging by. Have a wonderful fortnight. We'll be watching Amazing Spider-Man 2. Join in. Tell us your thoughts and opinions on it before we get around to recording that episode. Have a wonderful time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
So the post-credits scene.
Oh, pointless.
What do you mean pointless?
Like, do you know who that shadowy guy is?
But the important bit here, I remember this buzz at the time, the important bit was the lightning.
Oh.
Yeah. Everyone was like, shit, the lightning. That's what's important. And that's where you're like...
Because of Thor? Why? Why do we care about the lightning?
Because of Electro.
Oh.
Electric Man.
Oh. Is that actually a setup for Electric Man?
Yes.
Okay. Fine.
I don't think they'd really figured out how to do post-credits.
Yeah. Well, so this again, though, I thought this sort of lent strength to the argument that Peter was being experimented on, because he's like, leave that boy alone. He's like, isn't he interesting? You didn't tell him the truth about his father. So I thought that meant that his father had done something particularly nefarious.
Well, maybe it does mean that in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
You're going to have to
watch it and find out.
I brought a Spider-Man joke.
Oh, that's right.
Can I still read it, even though there's a post-credit scene?
Yeah.
Why didn't Spider-Man care about his job at McDonald's?
I don't know why.
Because with minimum wage comes minimum responsibility.
Oh, Lord.
Right, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.